This episode of The Nate Darling Show is radio-friendly. All the funny, none of the cursing. The world is a big, stupid place.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
And they're here to make fun of it. This is The Nate Darling Show. Now, here's Nate and the gang.
Okay. We are all here. Sort of. The gang is all in their, each in their own respective homes. Kareem was not feeling the best this morning, so he asked if we could do this over a little Google Plus Hangout, and I said, yes, that'll make everything easier. So,
well, I didn't want to get Jason sick with the baby.
Yeah, how about me sick with the wedding next week?
Yeah, that's almost as bad.
It's right up there. Baby's going to get sick anyway. They're little germ factories. So, hello, Kareem.
I know, but I didn't want it to be the first time they get sick was because I was sick.
Okay. And you have to be you're going to have to talk as loud as you can, Kareem, because you are very soft, my friend. And Jason enjoying a big drink out of his Dickie's cup.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So, just a reminder, this week is the last week of new shows for a few weeks because of the wedding and the honeymoon going to be gone. So, next Monday is the last new show for a while. Coming up on the show today, we're going to talk about what happened last Tuesday and what's happened since. That would be the election of President-elect Trump that I spoke about online. If you listened to last Monday's episode, or Monday's episode, by now, I cautiously referred to him as President-elect Trump, which caused my co-host to shudder. And then it happened. And then it really, really happened. But we'll get into all that first. But Jason, how was your week?
Full of baby, for sure.
Well, sure. I see she's just taken your lovely wife has just taken the baby out to the curb.
She did. She's like, trash day's tomorrow, right? No, I'm just kidding.
Recycling. Recycle that baby. So yeah, lots of baby stuff for you. Anything fun or just, okay. Anything happened with the baby this week that made you go, oh my God, that is awesome.
Well, she had a poopy diaper this morning. There was a lot of poop. So I was pretty amazed by how much poop came out of her at that one time. So that was pretty amazing. And then when she smiles and laughs, even though I want it to be like because I'm funny or because she recognizes me, but I know it's most likely not the case because usually she farts or poops right afterwards.
Like, did you feel a rumble in her diaper when she smiled?
Right afterwards, usually. Or yeah, you have to take that into consideration.
Well, look, the fact that all that poop came out this morning, you must have been thinking, like, oh, she really is mine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, without a doubt.
That's, by the way, the worst Jackie Chan movie, Rumble in the Diaper.
It's a oh, yeah.
Worst one. Kareem, how was your week, my friend?
My week was good. Got some good news at work, so that's always good. Feel a little bit more secure. I don't want to talk too much about it because I don't want to jinx it.
That's fair.
So that was good. Everything was good except my Steelers lost again.
Well, that's going to happen a lot.
Yeah.
Well, but, as a 49er fan, welcome.
Yeah. But I found a 2-volume series on Wing Chun at Beer's Books on Sunday.
What?
Yeah, for like 20 bucks each. So,
wow.
My next hobby will be to teach myself Wing Chun while we're on hiatus.
Well, everybody have fun tonight. Everybody Wang Chun tonight. Or is that's different?
That's different.
Oh, okay.
If you had to pass that off to somebody at some point, I would, I'd accept.
I will remember that.
Excellent.
Awesome.
Excellent. My week, a lot of wedding planning. We're, as we record this, 10 days away from the wedding. And we got a lot done. If you are one of my friends on Facebook, you can see the video that we shot with our wedding DJ on Saturday morning at IKEA. That's up on Facebook now.
I wasn't sure if I was supposed to watch it yet or not.
No. You can totally watch. It's going to be played again at the wedding, but it's sort of a teaser video that he does to get people excited for the wedding.
Awesome.
So that's up on Facebook. We shot that. We did a lot of. We're just checking stuff off, and you know how it is, Jason. You did this a year ago. The last couple weeks, it's like we're almost done. No, you're not.
It's like that. It's just like that. And but I mean, at the same time, it's an awesome time. So you also have to take a moment just to enjoy it, because in a year, you'll be looking back saying, "Holy poop!"
Right. Yeah,
we've done this. This year's been crazy.
It's true. We needed to take a break though, because it's just been so all encompassing. So we decided on Saturday that we were going to take a break, and we went to see Doctor Strange.
Awesome.
At the D-Box Theater in Folsom, which if you got a little bit of a tight back, I would recommend going to D-Box, because that movie had just the right amount of fight scenes that the vibration felt great. And Doctor Strange, very good movie, very enjoyable. The one thing that might throw you is Benedict Cumberbatch sounds just like House. Remember, it's the British guy doing the American accent playing a doctor. He sounds almost dead on like Hugh Laurie playing House. But if you can get past that, everything else is grand.
Yeah, that's on my list of things to do this weekend.
Yeah. I dropped the hint like probably 500 times that I would like to go see that movie, but alas,
you had a baby.
I had a baby.
Yeah.
I'll see it when it comes out on VHS.
That's what you get for procreating.
It's true. If you can get to see it in a theater, there are some scenes that are just visually stunning.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure it's the movie that I always should see in IMAX, and that I probably never will.
Oh no, you! It's going to be out for a long time. It's the number one movie in the country. It's going to be out for weeks and weeks.
That's my plan, is to see it in IMAX or 3D.
Yeah, maybe in like 2 or 3 years I'll be able to get out of here.
Well, that's the attitude. that defeated attitude brings me to this: President-elect Trump. It happened. Last Tuesday, America went to the polls, and 30 of the 50 states voted to make Donald J. Trump our next president.
Your cousins have lost their minds.
Well, a third of Latinos voted for Donald Trump, and I didn't hear you so upset when 95% of African Americans voted for President Obama. So, come on, why is it suddenly so bad? And since that time, America has sort of lost its mind. First of all, here's the fun fact. Hillary Clinton did win the popular vote. Not by a lot, but she did, because you factor in California, where she won by a ton. But she got fewer votes than John McCain did in 2008, and fewer votes than Mitt Romney got in 2012. So that means Donald Trump got less than that. So the big problem with this election is she couldn't rally people to get out to the polls and vote.
Well, that was part of it, but they did do a big voter suppression.
You know, you can say that, and that contributes a little here and there. There are a lot of people who made it a point to not vote, including Colin Kaepernick.
There are, but in the South, they closed a lot of polling places. So black people in the South, because of the history in the South, they had early voting down there.
Right.
And they closed off a lot of polling places. And they closed a lot of polling places. Like, there was one place in Mississippi where they made you have to get the ID, and then they closed the driver's license places in the counties. so that you weren't able to get an ID. Man. So a lot of stuff like that happened.
Yeah.
But and those Bernie or bust people busted. I hope they enjoy this stuff.
Well, the bottom line is she did nothing. She did nothing as a candidate to reach out to the people who supported Bernie Sanders. Absolutely nothing other than saying, hey, I'm the nominee, fall in line. And we talked about that on the show before. She did nothing to do. She just wasn't. I mean, the South is one thing, and there are various things of voter suppression, and I can't dispute that at all. But she lost in states that she should have won: Pennsylvania, Ohio,
right.
Michigan, Wisconsin. She lost all of those states, and that's what cost her the election.
Oh yeah. I'm not just saying it was voter suppression. I don't know if you saw the President Obama's press conference yesterday, but he talked about all the places that he went to get votes in those two elections, and she didn't do that work. So
no, she went to Hollywood to get money.
Yeah,
said here, give me money, and then people like Lena Dunham came out on social media and tried to chastise people, and they went, "Well, f you, Lena Dunham."
Yeah,
I'm either not voting or I'm voting for Trump. And for the record, I voted for Hillary Clinton. Because I didn't think Donald Trump as president was a great idea.
Oh, it's still not.
No. But the fact of the matter is it is. And a lot of people were out there going, but it's a democracy and she won the popular vote. No, we're not a democracy. We're a republic.
Republic.
And to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for white people.
Exactly.
I changed that just for you, Kareem.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So we are a republic. We're not a democracy, and we have the Electoral College. And for all of the other things, and yes, I see Jason's very upset by the whole thing, and not as upset as some people. You've kept it under control really well this week. On social media,
yeah.
Some people have lost their damn mind.
You go ahead. I will keep my.
At a certain point, you just have to accept this is what's happened. America has spoken, and you know what? Sometimes you just got to go, America, you made a terrible mistake, and now we have to deal with your terrible mistake and pick up the pieces.
Exactly.
And you know what? Maybe it won't be first of all, I don't think it can really be as bad as a lot of people think it is, because the doomsday scenarios I have seen people putting out there are so over the top. But I understand why they're doing it, because they're going, hey, Trump, we think you're going to do this. We think you're going to do this. And hopefully he sees that and goes, well, I guess I better dial it back. And so far he has. From most of the stuff I've seen, he seemed a little overwhelmed at the White House. Like I didn't realize this was quite such
no,
a big
he wasn't,
job.
He wasn't overwhelmed. He was shook. He is scared. He looked like he might poop in his pants. He was in there.
Yeah, it's a pretty daunting task to be president of the United States. There's just a lot that you have to know and deal with. So we'll see how that goes over the next little bit.
And what has amazed me is how many people don't realize how big of a task it is.
Oh yeah. Yeah. People are like, oh yeah, you just go and you make a few decisions, do this. I go, no, you're managing literally thousands of people in addition to dealing with crazy world leaders.
One of my friends was like, oh, I think anybody could be president. And I was like, yeah, no.
Well, they can be. We just proved that. If you're over 35,
right.
You're over 35 and born here, you can be president. So speaking of the Electoral College, retiring Senator Barbara Boxer has filed legislation earlier today, actually, as we record the show, to abolish the Electoral College.
Oh, man.
Because America made a choice that I don't like, so let's get rid of one of the articles of the Constitution.
Yeah, and Republicans are never going to go for that because they are a declining party.
Yeah, it's maybe they are, maybe they are. They did very well nationally, not just in the presidential race. They did well in state
Listen,
races.
As soon as all these Trump supporters see what Trump actually is going to do, and that surround himself with the same people in the industry that he said he was going to drain, I mean, they're going to be just upset with him. Don't you think?
I think they might kill him themselves.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, when he starts not fulfilling those promises, those people are going to get very, very upset.
They all seem very reasonable to me. I don't know what you're talking about.
He brought it upon himself, though. He appealed to that there's a reason why people don't publicly come out in support of groups that, and, like, distance themselves from places like that. Because he's going to hate it.
It's going to be rough. He's going to find that there's no pleasing all of the people. When you're the job of president is to be disliked by a large number of people. It's not fun.
Historically, usually about half.
Yeah, at least. And he went in with at least half of them not liking him at all.
Yeah.
But so I mentioned social media, and oh my God, my feed. And I know part of the problem is during the election, I hid so many Trump supporters. Just because I didn't want to hear their logic. I'm going to use air quotes on logic because I didn't want to hear it. So my feed is mostly liberals who support Hillary Clinton. And oh my God, the loss of minds is absolutely insane. I've never seen anything like. And if you saw the opening sketch of Saturday Night Live with Dave Chappelle and Chris Rock was a guest on it. And they the idea was watching the election with white people. That pretty much describes my Facebook feed over the past week. The anger and people who keep posting it at this point, I just put the link to the five stages of mourning and loss.
Well, nobody believed me when I told you that y'all were that racist.
Here's the thing though, and this is one of the reasons why he won is I don't think there are a lot of people who aren't racist that voted for Trump. They didn't like Hillary Clinton. And again, the biggest,
I heard you.
Yeah.
But a part of the whole. So I'll say half of those people that voted for him didn't like Hillary Clinton. The other half were racist.
Well, I forget who I saw post this on Twitter, but the post was not everyone who supports Trump is a racist, but all the racists support Donald Trump.
Yes.
So that maybe you can get behind that. He needs to get out in front of this or we're going to have a real problem. And the 60 Minutes interview where he looked at the camera and said, "Stop it," is not going to be enough. He's going to have to do better.
We're there. He's like, you can't call me the N-word and then be like, "Oh, it was just about to pop the election." Like, no, we're
no.
not there.
No, not okay. I mentioned it earlier, Colin Kaepernick, he of the big protest, did not vote, which caused Stephen A. Smith to go, "You can go away now."
Yes.
How do you feel about that, Kareem? I mean, we all talked about it. We were in support of his protest. How do you feel about the fact that he didn't vote? And the fact it came out today in the Sacramento Bee that he's not even registered to vote.
It's twofold. Like, one, I understand why he's not registered to vote.
Because he doesn't have ID?
No, because we've been trained to think that voting doesn't mean anything. And, I mean, historically for us, it hasn't meant a lot. But, so civically, we weren't taught about the down ballot stuff that we can have effect on. So in the next 4 years, that should be the primary focus of the community, is to get people to understand that they have there is stuff that voting, that they have control of if they vote. If you got a kid, then you need to be voting for the Board of Education, because if something goes wrong at the school, that's the person you can hold accountable for, accountable for that. Those things don't register with us.
Okay.
So Generally, if we're voting, we're voting for the president. We're not even thinking about the senators or the legislators or any of that stuff. So part of that is the lack of education on the black community's part, which is the same lack of education than the white community about those same issues. The only thing is the Republicans have spent more time getting people out to vote on those issues because they understand that better than the Democrats have. That's why the Democrats have been losing in the houses and Senates and the governorships across the country, because the Republicans are having that conversation, or they made a point of getting those people elected where we haven't, or where the Democrats haven't.
Jason, how do you feel about Colin Kaepernick not voting?
You know, I mean, it's one of those things that as an American, I've always thought a lot about it. Like, the first thing I did when I turned 18, besides vote for Clinton, was also to work at the polling place. You know, that was like the 96, like, that was the first thing I did, because that was how important it was to me. So that's my personal feeling on it. I can't say that he doesn't, he wasn't raised the way I was, you know, and
I want to change what I was just saying. Actually, he was raised by white people. He know better.
That's fair. And he was raised in California where you do nothing but see ads for ballot measures the whole months leading up to the election.
That's right. He was raised by white people. He has no excuse.
My first thing is with as politically active as he's seen, or like as much of a limelight's been shown on him this whole time, that somebody would have said to him, "Hey, are you registered to vote?" Like, I wonder if, I can't believe somebody didn't say that to him. So is it a personal choice that he didn't do it? You know, like, I don't know.
That was his first claim, that he didn't vote because it doesn't matter. And his people are being oppressed, and, you know, cops shooting in the streets, which valid point, yes, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't vote.
Hey, when the Supreme Court is on the line, those people that are about to be put up there you're about to add possibly three Republicans in the next 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
That does matter. That's really where your vote counts.
Well, how about the death penalty measures that were on the ballot in California?
Oh, man.
So not only do we keep the death penalty, we're speeding it up.
Get rid of them. Get rid of them.
Yeah, basically. And I, as someone who is pro-death penalty, I looked at both of the things, and I looked at the measure to speed it up, and I read it, and I was not at all comfortable with how it was written, because it seemed very shoddy. It seemed full of holes, and it seemed to be speeding up for the sake of speeding up and not getting things right. So I voted to repeal the death penalty, even though I am pro death penalty, because it doesn't, if you're going to have a death penalty, then you need to actually carry it out. And if you're just going to sit and spin your wheels like we have been, you might as well get rid of it. And
right.
California, which, and you can go online, the LA Times put out this really cool thing. It can show you if your district voted for Trump and how they voted for all of the ballot measures. And there's a huge section of California, it's where there are fewer people living, huge sections of California that voted red. And
and San Bernardino.
Well, not Orange County. Down near San Diego did, everything north of Sacramento. Placer County, El Dorado County, there are a lot. It was a very interesting map to look at and see how people vote, because there's this perception of California as being one thing, and it isn't.
No,
it's just like the country. It's a very big and divided thing. So, anywho, we made it through that part. Let's do this.
Get ready for some judging. It's time for Cool or Tool.
All right, first up in Cool or Tool, voting. Voting, Jason.
Wow, voting's cool.
Kareem.
Too many of my people died to get the right. It's cool.
Voting is absolutely cool. Up next in Cooler Tool, pouting, Kareem.
Tool.
Jason.
Depends on who's doing it. So, Tool.
It, absolutely. We have a quorum again. It's Tool. This is the way the system works. And for, and everybody who's pouting that Donald Trump won and is on Facebook going, it's not fair, it's not right, he shouldn't have won, he shouldn't have been able to do this, were the same people that were like, if he doesn't accept the results of the election, then we're going to have real problems. You can't have it both ways. And finally in Cooler Tool, Colin Kaepernick, Jason.
I'm going to say it's Tool on the voting thing, man.
Kareem.
I concur.
Yeah, we're
all raised by white people. He knows better.
We're just going to agree this show. He is Tool. If you're going to be political and get it right. And by the way, be a better quarterback. One decent half of football does not a professional quarterback make. You hump. One
he
in 50.
Better this week.
One for a half he did. 1-15 for the 49ers. Will the Browns win? The race for the number one pick is on. hey, speaking of races for things, I'd like you to race on down to your computer and click on that Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com. Why? It helps support the show and it doesn't cost you anything extra. And it's a great way to fill your Christmas stockings, your Hanukkah wheels, and even your own back pocket with a lovely gift to make you and the people you love happy. That's right, the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com. Shop it today and be happy when your package is delivered right to your face.
To your face.
To your face. All right, so I have a little bit more election stuff, but it's a little less election-y. It's more about what people were doing. A polling expert who promised to, and I quote, eat a bug if Donald Trump received more than 240 electoral votes, made good on his promise on live TV. Sam Wang, founder of the Princeton Election Consortium, tweeted on October 18th that he would eat a bug if the Republican candidate received more than 240 electoral votes. Wang was asked about his promise Saturday during an interview on CNN, leading the polling expert to brandish a can of gourmet-style crickets from the point of view of a pet. Wang cautioned that his bug-eating stunt could distract from more important coverage of the incoming Trump administration. No, it doesn't.
No.
It doesn't. Eat a bug, Wang! But good for him for actually following through on his thing. So many people. Alec Baldwin, yet to move to France. I haven't seen Amy Schumer and all of the other blowhards getting their places in Canada. Why are you still here? He won.
I talked to my friend about staying with his parents today.
All right, so you're the one who's actually following through. Good for you, Kareem. You'll fit right in. In Texas, angered that her son voted for Donald Trump in a mock elementary school election, a Texas woman packed the child's suitcase and shoved the wailing boy out of their home, saying, "Bye, Donald Trump lover."
No.
Yes, the video shot by the woman was uploaded to her Facebook page and contained the caption, "When your child vote Donald Trump at school, his ass must go."
I have to agree with her.
Evicting an 8-year-old. The woman is heard on the video berating the boy. She's a 29-year-old resident of Fresno, which is a suburb of Houston. The video was shot at Stallworth's Fort Bend County home, which is also listed in public records as the residence of her mother and her brother.
Gotta go.
Sly and the Family Stone were right. It is a family affair. In Facebook posts, Gloria Stallworth described her daughter's video as a prank that was meant just for her family and friends. Well, then you shouldn't have made it public, idiot. At the beginning of the video, the child is seen in home entrance hallway. As Stallworth says, since you voted for Donald Trump, you can get your S and get out. But I didn't feel like editing, so I edited on the fly. She then pointed to a small piece of rolling luggage at the front door. Quote, "The suitcase is packed by the door, been packed since this morning. Bye."
Hey, at least she gave him a suitcase.
And we have an update, calling the video absolutely disgusting and very disturbing. The Fort Bend County Sheriff announced the police, child welfare workers, and school officials are investigating the incident. In a Facebook post, the sheriff added the boy should not have been subjected to such awful behavior by his mother. So, stop it.
Man, come on.
Those are those people that cry about political correctness. They need to stop it.
Apparently the sheriff is not okay with sending an 8-year-old boy out into the world because he voted for Donald Trump in a mock election.
Well, I doubt that she was actually going to let him go away.
Again, we don't know. Well, here's the thing.
She wasn't going to let him go.
Yeah, away. I mean, come on.
She'll let him get
to the
corner.
You're going to make him walk down the road a little bit and cry a little bit.
My dad put a childhood friend and another kid. We got caught stealing basketball cards at a Woolworths inside the mall, and they made us walk around the mall with signs on our chest that said "We are thieves." And it wasn't even "We are thieves." It was "We're thieves," and it was misspelled, and they misspelled "thieves" also.
Nice.
So, what would have happened if they would have put that on YouTube? Come on, it's what parents do. They do stupid stuff like that to their kids.
I have a feeling this is going to get investigated and nothing will come of it.
I hope not.
But we'll see. Somebody else who's catching flack over the Trump election is Oprah Winfrey. See, when Trump met with President Obama at the White House, Oprah appeared to try to look on the bright side, and that didn't go over well with fans, and now she's admitting her mistake. As anti-Trump protests, which started right after the election, continued, Winfrey tweeted, quote, "Everybody take a deep breath, hashtag hope lives," next to a picture of Obama and Trump in what there was their first ever meeting. Fans and other celebs reacted negatively, tweeting their disapproval. Sean King, you know Sean King, Kareem.
Yeah.
I appreciate his passion. I've had almost enough of him. He said, "I'm stumped, honestly. I want to assume she means something deep." Others joked about this not being their favorite thing. And Amore got a bit nasty in voicing their displeasure. By Sunday, Winfrey took time out on a Facebook Live to explain. She was joined by a film director, Ava DuVernay, to promote the new documentary, 13th. And she opened with a classic honesty and humor about the situation. When asked a question concerning Trump, Winfrey said, "I cannot say it. I'm already in trouble for a tweet." So she's apologized. Kareem, can you forgive Oprah?
No.
Jason, can you forgive Oprah?
She's like the richest woman in the world, right? I mean, she doesn't need my forgiveness.
Did you read the rest of what she said about why she said what she said?
No. I only scratched the surface because I don't care about Oprah.
Yeah.
That's why I'm not mad. I don't care.
She said because President Obama was gracious to him, that's why she thought everything was okay. Like, no, he was being who he is. That doesn't mean that he was like, oh, I think this guy's going to be a great president. No. Like, he didn't want to. He couldn't act black in front of the world.
That's going to come on the 22nd of January.
Exactly.
So, Oprah in trouble, and she'll be fine. Jason, I think you're right. I think Oprah will be okay.
Yeah, she'll be fine.
Thank goodness. All right, let's wrap this show up.
And now, the Nate Darling Show takes it to a simpler place. It's time for Small Town News.
You know, this is really national news, but because it comes from WCAX, which is Vermont's own, in Burlington, Vermont, I put it into small town news. We've been talking election the whole show, so we might as well wrap it up with, what does Bernie Sanders think of this whole thing? And you might find it interesting.
Bernie Sanders says he's humiliated that Democrats did not connect with white working class Americans, and he says the party needs to make some big changes. Sanders' opinions have been widely sought out by the media since Donald Trump's victory over Hillary Clinton in the presidential race last week. Sanders credits Trump for tapping into the anger and pain of working class people. the same people Sanders targeted in his presidential campaign.
That I think there needs to be a profound change in the way the Democratic Party does business. It is not good enough to have a liberal elite. I come from the white working class, and I am deeply humiliated that the Democratic Party cannot talk to the people from where I came from.
Therefore, do you believe that if you'd been the candidate, you would have won?
Hindsight is great, Charlie. I don't know the answer to that. Maybe, maybe not.
Sanders says Democrats also need to do a better job of connecting with millennials who did not turn out for Clinton the way they did for President Obama. And he repeated his support for Minnesota Congressman Keith Ellison as DNC chairman to, quote, shake up the Democrats.
So there you go. That, if you're wondering, that's what Bernie Sanders has to say about the election.
Yeah, I'm about as much over him as you are as Sean King.
I don't know why he fell in line and was supportive of Hillary Clinton. He told everybody, vote for Hillary. She's the nominee. They just didn't listen to him.
Yeah, we'll discuss that on my rant.
Oh, well. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of the Nate Darling Show. I hope everybody enjoyed it. It's going to be the last election talk until Kareem's rant on Monday.
I'll make up for it.
Yeah, you'll make up for it. Until then, we're going to leave you with a little Andy Grammer. The song is called Fresh Eyes on the Nate Darling Show. We'll see you on Friday with a fresh new show. Bye-bye.
Now all I see is you. Fresh eyes, fresh eyes. So suddenly I'm in love with a stranger. I can't believe that she's mine. Yeah. And now all I see is you. Fresh eyes, fresh eyes. Appreciation. Well, it comes and it goes, but I ride that way with you. What's under your nose till you remind a fool. Maybe all of this is simple. My heart's unconditional, yeah. You dress up just a little and I'm like, oh, damn. So suddenly I'm in love with a stranger.
Thanks for listening, and remember to use the Shop Amazon tab at natedarlingshow.com.